I need to say something before I begin in prayer. Interesting that yesterday, because of the nature of the week and all that has to go on before you prep for holidays, yesterday, unfortunately, I had to spend the better part of our day as a family working on my message for today. But as I came this morning, I just sensed that God had something else in mind, and that he was asking me to kind of put it aside. And I was holding so tightly, saying, God, I put 7 hours into that yesterday. I don't want to let go of it, but I feel like I need to. So during the worship time, I kind of tucked around the corner and rewrote my message. So here we go. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that you're not safe. You're not tame. There's no fences around you. And thank you, Jesus, that you call us into that same kind of relationship, relationship of trust. And Lord, some of us are on quite a journey of trust. We don't trust very well, but we thank you that you pursue us and you continue to show us more of your Father heart. And bit by bit, we become people who were once reluctant followers to people who are fully devoted. And so today I pray through my simple talk that somehow you would move us one step closer to knowing you and loving you and knowing your full embrace. So come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I remember a number of years ago, I was in seminary. Kenda and I were just married. I think Beth was not yet born. And I remember a very profound moment. I was at home studying and had kind of our future planned out. We were going to go through seminary and head overseas. And I was studying Master's of Arts of Intercultural Ministries and planned to go overseas as a missionary. And I remember a profound moment walking down the hallway to my office, and it was like Jesus kind of apprehended me. It was one of those startling moments. It was almost audible where I stopped in my tracks and sensed Jesus asked me, will you follow me? I didn't sense any condemnation around the words. I didn't pick up like I wasn't following, and yet so he needed to ask me. It was just this sense of, Darcy, will you follow me? And immediately it was this resounding but very profoundly deep response. Yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. Not knowing at all what was actually coming, what he was actually calling us to, but just responding, yes, I will follow you. I think it was about a year, year and a half later, we were actually on a drama tour, and I was at North Shore Alliance Church in North Vancouver, and I was just driving the van. And I met an old pastor of mine who is now the senior pastor of North Shore Alliance Church. And we stopped kind of in the hallway, and he asked me what I was doing, and I told him I was in seminary. And immediately he said, well, what are you doing when you graduate? Do you want to come work at North Shore Alliance Church? So that began this kind of this process of us pursuing and trying to discern whether God was calling us to North Shore Alliance Church. And what did that mean about our calling overseas? Well, eventually we went to North Shore and just had a sense that God had something unique for us there, that he was going to prepare us for something bigger down the road, but there was something that we needed to learn in that place, so we moved to North Shore Alliance Church. Well, many of you know the story. Within a very short period of time, God began to move our hearts towards Squamish, and within 5-6 years, the process had begun, and we landed in Squamish. You know, I'm one of these guys who I would call a reluctant follower. someone who is hesitant. And maybe it's because I wear my heart on my sleeve and I want to be honest and not just give God the right behavior. But I know that He loves me and I can actually wrestle with things honestly with Him. You know, there's a text in Matthew. Jesus is just resurrected and He tells His disciples to go to the mountain in Galilee and there they would meet Him. And when they met Christ, the resurrected Christ, Scripture says in Matthew 28, verse 17, and when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some of them doubted. In fact, the Greek there is, I don't really like how they translate doubt. It's more hesitant. It's more reluctant. As you know, the rest of the disciples eventually got there. They eventually got to a place of full worship, but they were reluctant at first. They were hesitant, and I see very much that part of my life, very, very much real in my own spiritual journey. I'm one of these guys who kind of kicks and screams all the way along and acknowledge that there's fear. You know, some of you know my journey in getting married. Met Kenda, had a sense almost immediately that we were to be married, began to pursue her. But all of a sudden, my own fears came to the surface, and fear of commitment, and it had to do with an upbringing where there was a lot of divorce and a lot of family breakup and a lot of family pain. And so when I came up against that, I was absolutely terrified, and fear won. Some of you know the story. I broke up, broke off our engagement, and she went back to Toronto, and I stayed in Winnipeg, knowing full well I had made the biggest mistake I'd ever make. But God, in His grace and in His faithfulness, brought us back together again. We both moved to Regina and all of a sudden found each other in the same city and in the same school. And it was almost like the Lord saying, you know what, you will try to run from this, but you will not run. I've got a good gift in this, and you actually need to deal with your fear. Well, that was quite a journey. But God, in His faithfulness and in His persistence, began and continued to show me His Father heart, that He is good and that I could trust Him. Well, we ended up at North Shore Alliance. And in the process of God calling us to Squamish, again, I needed to hear the Lord. I needed to hear His voice. God, are You calling us to Squamish? And so you can read the story on the website if you haven't read it, but there was so numerous clear confirmations that God gave us to kind of move us to the direction where we could trust Him and come to Squamish. It seems like a pattern in my life to understand that God is good and that He's trustworthy, that God's faithful through my ebbs and flows, my highs and lows. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 139. It says, I can never escape from Your spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. If I go up to heaven, You are there. If I go down to the grave, the darkest of depths, You are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there Your hand will guide me and Your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness I cannot hide from You. To You the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to You. To know that God is present and with me and with us through the highs and the lows. And I think it's in those places that we actually learn that God is good and that we can trust Him. You know, I've had some fear concerning adoption. This process for us as a family has gone on for probably about 3 years. First, we began to pursue international adoption. And then, as of the last 6 months, we switched to local adoption somewhere in BC. And there's been a lot of fear, and some warranted, but you know the nature of fear. When you're focused on fear, it becomes way bigger than it actually is. God actually becomes small and fear becomes looming and large. So to have these moments where God would give me a confirmation and I would hear his voice and I would say yes, but then there were other times when I would kind of kick out of that kind of heart mode and I would think through all the possible scenarios that could go wrong, and all of a sudden fear began to grow and loom large again. So there's been these ebbs and flows and highs and lows in this journey of adoption. To be honest, Kenda has been really leading the charge. And in many ways, me as a husband, trusting Christ, but also trusting Kenda and trusting her discernment, and that, you know what, sometimes my fear gauge goes way overboard and I just need to trust in Kenda. But through the process, I've been kind of, God, you need to get my heart online too. And I think that was Kenda's prayer as well, that it wouldn't just be her leading me through this, but actually I would take a turn and lead her. Lately, I began to see a change. We had to read through this profile of this boy named Cameron. Ministry gave us a stack of papers and doctor's appointments and basically describing in detail every event of this child's life from birth till now. And we had to wade through all that material, and I knew full well as I was going to be exposing myself to some very possibly scary information in that profile that I knew could set me off. I spent some time with the Lord saying, God, I know you're in this, and I pray that you give me your rhema word. You know that there's two words in Scripture for the word of God. Logos, kind of the general term of God's word, and rhema. Rhema is this personal word that we receive from God. It's very pointed to us. It's like God knows exactly what we need, and he speaks that truth to us. Our prayer is that you actually receive God's rhema word for you today. But I was praying, God, I need to hear your rhema word for me as I'm reading through this profile. I know that you have words of love, words of confirmation for us in this process. Give me ears to hear your voice. And so we dove into this profile, reading this profile. Well, I began to read, and yeah, there's lots of details, lots of information. There were some things that were pretty scary, but I had just a sense of peace. And then all of a sudden, as I was reading, there was this word that kind of jumped off the page. And I know this is very subjective, but let me try to explain kind of the profoundness of this word for me. I read on the paper that his last name is Shepherd. And it wasn't me pausing to somehow read something into this word and make it happen or make it work for me. It was like God actually took that word and pierced my heart with it. And I paused. And I said, Lord, could it be? Could it be that you are shepherding us to Cam? Could it be that in our intention to pursue international adoption, that you were in that decision to actually move away to local adoption, could it be that you are actually shepherding us and are shepherding us to him? Then there was this other layer. God, could it be that you're actually shepherding him to us? One failed adoption after another failed adoption, and nothing has really worked for this boy. Could it be that actually you're at work in the midst of that and you are shepherding him to us? And then there was a third layer that came a few days later, and it was this. Could it be, Lord, that you are actually going to shepherd us through him? That there is something that you have for us as a family that you are placing this boy in our lives to shepherd us as a family, to reveal more of God's heart to us through him. I'm not emotional now, but man, when I was journaling that, when that was happening, I was a mess. I was a mess. You know, John 10:10 says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own sheep, and they know me. There's this picture all through John 10 of God as shepherd, as Jesus as shepherd. And so there was just this overwhelming sense that Jesus is in this, and he's somehow shepherding this boy to us, that he somehow is shepherding us to him and would shepherd us through his life. You know, it's been through prayer that my heart is actually moving and has moved to a place where I am 100% in. I don't know if I shared it at our last citywide, but there was a time in my quiet time last week where I just, it was long before the decision actually needed to happen. It was, I guess, 2 weeks ago, and I just knew in my heart that I'm in. Yes, Lord, I'm in. And so it was quite a change for me to come to my wife and say, come to Kenda and say, honey, you need to know, I'm in. And so in that now we have family nights and we watch a movie and I actually miss him. It's like our family is missing something. It is not complete without that little boy. There is something that has switched in my heart. You know, there's so much to learn through adoption that enriches our relationship with God as Father. And we knew conceptually before this journey began, but man, when you begin to walk through the process, it just takes it that much deeper. You know, it's true that when we take steps of faith and kind of move into places that are beyond us, we actually meet God in those places. And as we've pressed into this, I've realized that, you know, in some way I was stuck. Life was too easy. There wasn't enough challenge. And I had gotten kind of complacent in my relationship with God. And so as we're moving into this in a place of absolute trust and reckless abandon where all you can do is pray, it's kind of that white knuckle ride. I'm sensing God's love and his presence in that profound, deep sort of way again. Just such a reminder that that's kind of the sweet spot. That's where God calls us to be. I don't remember a number of years ago speaking, giving a sermon called Storm Whipped, and it was about John Muir, this explorer that went up and down the coastal mountains, and he tells a story of one moment when he was in the Sierra Mountains, and he was on a journey, and there was a friend that owned a cabin deep in the woods, and periodically he would go there kind of to refresh himself and replenish his pack, and then he would go out into the wilderness again. And one thing that John Muir loved to do is when a storm came off the ocean, he would actually climb. He would take his crampons and whatever he needed to climb these Douglas fir trees, and he would climb to the top of these 100-foot trees in the midst of a storm, and he would just get wind-whipped on the top of these Douglas fir trees. And his whole deal was, he said, he'd rather be there than the safety and the coziness of a cabin, because that's where, he called it creator confrontations. That's where he saw God and experienced God. And it's a beautiful metaphor for the Christian life. Because it's in those places that we actually grow the most, when we're hanging on with all we've got and saying, God, do you got me? Right? We're experiencing God on in a new level, at a new depth, as we press into and take the step of faith. I want to read Ephesians 1, and it talks about adoption. It says this: all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for his glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. When I read that, it just strikes my heart, because the metaphor for me of adoption, here's Cameron. He's, unbeknownst to him, he's somewhere up north in BC. He's got a care worker named Deb who continues to remind him and give him hope that there's a forever family out there for him and not to lose hope. When he lays his head on his pillow at night, he still is not aware that there is a father in Squamish who thinks about him every day. There's a father who prays for him. There's a father who is for him. There's a father who's already thinking of ways to pour out kindness and grace on him. There's a father and a mother who are working for him, who are doing whatever it takes to bring him into their forever family. And it gives us great pleasure. And our prayer is that one day he's going to find out and he's going to hear the news and he's going to go, what? You had me on your mind and heart for months and months before this actually happened. You were actually doing all these things for me even before I was aware of it. What? Yeah, we were. Kids that are praying for him around the table at night, thinking about him coming into our home. And it's such a beautiful picture of heaven, isn't it? Of God at work in you. I don't know how many of you go through periods of time where you go, where's God? Is he even at work in my life? Where's the evidence? But unbeknownst to you, God is at work. There's a verse in the book of John that says, and the Father hasn't stopped working. He is at work, doing stuff behind the scenes, putting things in place. He knows your heart. He delights in you, and he longs to give you the desires of your heart. And in just the right time, he will pour it out. He's just putting those things together. That's God. And so when we begin to pursue, and as we are pursuing this little boy, man, it's just this deeper understanding of God as Father is just enriching our lives. This summer, we're going to be taking the next 3 citywides to give some of you opportunity to share your stories. And like my story, they're going to be sharing their hearts. They're going to be sharing not just the high points, because one of the values we have as a church is vulnerability, authenticity. One of our prerequisites for anybody who speaks at the river is that when they speak, they actually are to say one, at least one thing against themselves when they speak. It's not just the highs and lows. We don't present ourselves like we've got it all figured out. That's not authentic. You heard that in my story. You will hear that in the people's stories over the next three citywides. And you need to know, it takes a lot of courage to be authentic in front of people. It takes a lot of courage just to speak in general in front of people, let alone share your heart. But there's something that happens when we open our hearts up, right? And we begin to share our lives and our journey. I don't know about you, but you and myself, we actually are reminded, hey, God is with me too, and God is on the move, and I can trust him. There's all kinds of points along people's journeys that are going to connect with our hearts. So I think we can look forward to a great summer. I don't know if you've heard, I posted a couple of talks by Brené Brown from TED Talks. She gave a talk on vulnerability and a talk on shame, and I've posted both of them on our website. I encourage you to listen to that if you haven't. And she says that vulnerability is one of the signs of courageousness. It is actually the sign. And so it takes a lot of courage for people to come and speak. And so my encouragement, when people share, look for opportunities to encourage them. Even when someone shares over the next 3 weeks, when they're done, I would encourage you to applause, to give applause, to clap and to hoot and holler and just to let them know how much you appreciate their courage in sharing their story. Because many of us, when we sit down and go home after the citywide, and I do this sometimes too, oh boy, did I share too much? Brené Brown calls it a vulnerability hangover. And sometimes I feel that. And so when people share, they often have that sense. They have a vulnerability hangover on Monday. And so I encourage you to affirm and bless and love on people as they share their stories. All right? Anyway, so thank you for hearing my story and a little bit of our journey around adoption. Please keep us in prayer as we possibly will have him in our home early August. So keep us in prayer.